Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're getting you ready for pro football's postseason.
Playoffs? We'll talk about playoffs.
This is a wild card week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Danny and Dusty on 1080.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app. YouTube.com/1080AM, The Fan, Party on Party Animals, and Twitch.tv/1080AM, The Fan. College football playoff semifinals get going tonight with Notre Dame taking on Penn State in the Capital One Orange Bowl in Miami Gardens, Florida, Hard Rock Stadium. And this game has been taken off of a couple of the sports books right now, which is interesting. Notre Dame was a 1.5 favorite, and now ESPN bet has it says it's off. And I wonder if it is due to this report that came out earlier today. This via Blue and Gold, I believe, is the publication that put this one out here. Notre Dame has, there's a report of a flu outbreak in the Notre Dame locker room. Tyler Horka for Blue and Gold News, the first to report that. And it's kind of taken a life of its own at this point. According to Horka's report, he said that the flu is going around the Notre Dame locker room. Those who have it bad, but it sounds like it's mostly backups and special teams players. Still something to monitor for the Fighting Irish going into the Orange Bowl versus Penn State tonight.
I saw that this morning when we were getting ready. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but now it must have. The books have found out just how severe it is. And if this is the same thing that's going around the NBA, Damian Lillard had this 2 weeks ago. He said he was the sickest he's ever been in his life. And there is this bug that is going around locker rooms because, you know, everyone has, you know, close proximity and has kids. And, you know, when you get the big groups of people together, it just starts spreading like wildfire. And that's not the right word to use right now. But it's just one of those things where if it grabs hold, another team in the NBA had this, I want to say like a week ago, and they basically just got throttled for like three straight games. And it was like, what's going on with it? Are they broken? It's like, no, they're all just really sick.
They got sick. If you look at it, like I'm on Vegas Insider right now and all of the lines appear to be up right now. I'm not sure how often they update that. But if you go to the old ESPN bet right now, it says PSU off. So I don't know. That would be something to monitor though, because look, the flu bug, you can IV up and you can get into action, right? And find your way onto the field for, look, we have the Jordan flu game, right? We have a lot of flu games. We have, after the Big Ten championship game, right? Trayshawn Holden on his Instagram, when Nico Reed got the game sealing interception, said, your flu game. And that led to everybody be like, ah, everybody had the flu on Oregon's team. I don't know if they did or not, but maybe Nico Reed was sick during that game. You can play through it, but if you have a flu outbreak and a bunch of guys are down, look, it's not just, you know, if your starters are down, that's one thing. But backups, that's your depth right there. And, and if you're going through it, you need every ounce of it going up against a team like Penn State, who's physical, they're tough up front, and you have a national championship game appearance on the line. Like, that sucks, but also people are saying, here comes Notre Dame's excuse making starting right away.
Start it right away.
Yeah.
I mean, you get it out there.
Just float it. If things go wrong, don't blame us. Blame the flu.
Look, take a page out of Indiana's playbook when it came to Curtis Rourke. He talked about his torn ACL after the game.
Well, that was his agent. That was a solid agent move.
Great
torn
job.
ACL all year long. Tore his ACL in August. Played through it. He was amazing.
Gamer.
Yeah. You,
no ACL out there playing like that?
Who needs an ACL?
I mean.
Not Curtis Rourke, obviously.
I don't have one, but that's.
No, not Curtis Rourke.
I'm not that athletic.
Danny, you're not playing anything competitively.
No.
So
no.
I don't. I don't think that that's even the same thing.
No.
This game, though, I love. Look, the college football playoff has given us, I mean, if we're being honest, one really good game. It's been one really good game, and that was that Texas-Arizona State game.
Mm-hmm.
Came down to the wire. But
please, can we get a good game?
I think, like, the matchups that we are getting, this is exactly why the 12-team playoff is great.
Mm-hmm.
For starters, we have a team in Ohio State, Penn State, likely. I mean, Penn State would have probably been in losing the conference championship game, but that would have been a really tough one to convince people. Notre Dame wouldn't have been in, right?
Yeah.
Would Texas have been in? The four teams that are standing, like, this was what I long said about the 12-team playoff is, like, you look at it and you say, the hottest teams at the end of the year didn't get a chance, right? They did. They weren't afforded the chance. Like when Stanford won the Orange Bowl with Andrew Luck and
UCF
Jim Harbaugh,
was denied.
You're sitting there and you're going, those teams, that Stanford team was playing the best football at the end of the year. They stubbed their toe early. The playoff wasn't big enough for them to get in at the time. There was only two teams at the time.
Yeah, I don't think there's any argument that Stanford team wasn't, if not the second best, the best team in the country at the end of the season.
Now you look at it, and that's Ohio State right now, where Ohio State, if it was a four-team playoff, Ohio State would be on the outside looking and be like, well, that sucks. You didn't beat Michigan, right? But Ohio State is playing like the best team in all of college football right now. And I think the matchups are great, too. You have this game with Penn State and Notre Dame, where in the 80s, this was the best. This is one of the best rivalries in college football. Notre Dame and Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were independents at the time, and they played 12 times. They've only played twice since, but there was national titles on the line when these two teams played. And it's traditional powers of college football meeting up.
That's the most basic uniform matchup you could get in college football.
I don't think you can get much more basic. Yeah. There's nothing on their helmets.
There are no logos present.
There's a stripe down Penn State's really getting that thing sexy. I mean, the helmets in all four of these teams, you got a Longhorn on the side.
You got the Buckeyes. Stickers. You get a sticker.
For doing something cool.
You get a sticker.
Doing something cool. But you have traditional powers. Every time that Texas and Ohio State have ever played, the winners played for a national title. You know that?
No.
And that will continue. It's shocking to me they've only played three times ever.
You're kidding.
Yeah. I read that this week. I read that they've played three times and previously, and each time the winner has gone on to play for a national championship.
The interesting thing there is obviously the more recent tie is that Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Being a former Ohio State quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody kind of tends to forget that path that he took as being, you know, number one quarterback in the country, five-star kid, and how that just did not end well there before going to Texas. And it's, you know, I am actively rooting for Texas.
Are you?
Of the four teams remaining, that is who I want to win.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit of love for Sark. Maybe there's like I want to see Texas truly back and laugh at the SEC of like the new team to the SEC coming in immediately and ruling the SEC. It's kind of fun.
I actually do like that.
It's
I like that quite a bit
because it makes them instead of them going, you know, oh, you're not actually the SEC. All of a sudden, the SEC has to flip on its head and be like, yo, no, see, SEC, like,
SEC,
whoa,
SEC,
you
SEC.
Were just talking about how they weren't a year ago.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, they're not good enough because they're not in the SEC, but now they're in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they are good enough.
Yeah.
Like, what are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, come on, man. I would love to see that, but I also don't want to see the SEC have the satisfaction of getting another national
title. That's the one downside of this.
Yeah.
That is the one downside.
I wonder where Oregon fans sit on this one, though. Are you rooting for Ohio State?
I think most of you are. I think most Oregon fans have the same sentiment you do.
Yeah.
Of wanting to lose to the national champion.
Yeah, go out against the best.
Yeah. I am the complete opposite. I want the team that beats my team to suffer a fiery death.
That's not surprising. I mean, really,
if I was an Oregon fan and what just happened to me against Ohio State, I would want Texas to hang 60 on them. Just absolutely obliterate them. Sucks to suck.
Yeah. Well, it gets going tonight, and I think it's going to be a fun game. I mean, I hope I'm
going to pull this.
I hope that Notre Dame is not affected by the flu, because that could really turn this thing on its head.
Yeah, that'd be a bummer.
I think Penn State is the better team. But this game has always mattered. Like, it has always mattered when Penn State and Notre Dame play. And now it was a great rivalry in the 80s and 90s. We get to have it back, and we get to have it in this iteration of the first time of the 12-team playoff. But now you have the fact that both of these coaches have got a ton to prove, right? More so James Franklin than Marcus Freeman. Marcus Freeman, if he wins this game and he plays for a national title, this is his third year too of being a head coach. We were talking, you know, Dan Lanning in year three. That 2021 cycle might be pretty important in college football moving forward of the hirings that went down that year, where it would be the 2021 hiring cycle, being 22 being your first year, 23 being your second, 24 obviously being your third year. It would be really fun. And I would love to see Marcus Freeman get a chance to play for a national title. I think one thing that we do know is that of the four teams that are remaining, it doesn't matter, and I think this is kind of true for almost every fan base that wins a national championship, but these are four pretty vocal fan bases. They are going to beat their chests.
Oh, yeah.
Whichever one wins.
There's going to be a lot of silverbacking.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Oh, yeah.
I think I could take it the most from Texas, too.
You could, yeah.
You know what I mean? There's just something about that. Penn State is be the one I think would be the most obnoxious.
Yeah.
See, we were right all along. It's like, come on, dude. No, yeah. No, you weren't.
Yeah. Oh, here's the stat. Texas and Ohio State, they've only played three times in their history. The winner soon played for a national title all three times. 2005, number four Ohio State led number two Texas by six late, but a 24-yard touchdown pass from Vince Young fueled the Longhorns to victory. In that one, we all know that would be a pretty memorable national title game. 2006, Troy Smith threw a touchdown pass to Anthony Gonzalez and Ted Ginn Jr. after being tied for the first 29 minutes of the game. And then you had the third one, number one Ohio State over number two Texas in a BCS championship game in Florida. Oh, and no, wait.
What?
Hold on. That's confusing. The third meeting was a Fiesta Bowl to end the 2008 season after watching a 17-6 lead turn into a 21-17 deficit in the fourth quarter. Colt McCoy hit Quan Crosby for a touchdown, and then they went on to win the 2009. They went to a BCS championship game in 2009 after that 2008 Fiesta Bowl. That's from Bill Connolly, what he said.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Last three times they met, soon after, they played for a national title.
Okay.
Crazy.
That's an interesting one.
I still can't believe they've only played three times.
Yeah, that's weird to me. That's well, very
like
weird.
Never done it.
Like, how does that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get it. We have a text here. As an Oregon fan, I don't give an F about the rest of the games.
Yeah, I sympathize with that one too. I 100% do. I've mentioned this before. When I was in high school, watching Blazer games or Raider games, if they lost those games, I would not watch SportsCenter that night. Like, I couldn't watch the highlights. I was like, nope, not watching this.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think actually that's normal. It's just weird to me. I think that I go down the path of I can disassociate pretty quickly. I had anger issues
as a child.
No, I'm good. Well, yeah. Again, not surprising. Yeah. I mean, I did too. Yeah. But it's I have a weird way with sports, just being like, meh, well, that's over.
Yeah. No, the association stuff, I get there in the long haul.
Yeah.
In the immediacy? No. No.
No way. The multiple gold medalists in the Petty Olympics holds a grudge and can't watch?
Nope.
No way.
Nope. Which is funny now because I get done with Blazer games and I go home and I immediately rewatch regardless of, well, that's not entirely true. Not regardless of every game. I did not rewatch the game that they lost by 40 plus to the Utah Jazz.
Dude, if you had to do that, if you had that with the Blazers this year, you would be the most miserable human being of all time. You can't have that with this year's Blazers team.
I think it's been three games this year I haven't done that with.
Really?
Yeah.
Man, like, I can't sleep. You get angry?
No, it was just so bad. I'm not watching this.
Like, there have only been a handful of games that I haven't turned off of the Blazers while they're playing.
I'm contractually obligated to watch them.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of those games where I'm just like, I'm not doing this to myself or my family.
I literally get paid to.
We're not going
to
do this.
Have to.
All right. Well, I'm excited tonight. Hopefully the flu isn't a factor in this one, but it's something to monitor. Is one of the Notre Dame reporters is saying flu is running roughshod through the Notre Dame locker room leading up to the college football playoff semifinals tonight. It's early, too. It's early kick, 4:30 on ESPN, the semifinal, on a Thursday.
Oh, God. So the basketball game and the football game are kicking off at the same time.
It is a 4:30 kick.
Oh,
God. All the East Coasters bitching about it.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is tomorrow's game, which is in, you know, Dallas, it is snowing.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally just pulled this clip up that I'm looking at right now to just kind of get an idea of what snow it looks like. It's the only people who are going to make it to that game are going to be from Ohio State.
Yeah. Oh, which is an interesting one. Do you see the Twitter post of the people who ran into a reporter in the elevator?
God, they ran to the wrong game.
Yeah. So this comes from Johnny McGonagall.
I debated this for worst day on the web, but please, please bring this up.
Hold on. By the way, Johnny McGonagall sounds like a fake name.
It's a great name.
Like, what you did, Johnny? Johnny what? McGonagall?
Johnny Mac.
Really, Harry Potter?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, seriously, that's my name. It's Johnny McGonagall.
I used to get high with Johnny McGonagall.
Yeah, Johnny McGonagall seems like he was a good time.
Johnny McGonagall's the guy who you got your weed from.
Yeah. He is a Penn State football writer for the AP. And he said, I just ran into Ohio State fans in the hotel elevator. They misread the bracket and thought Ohio State would be playing in the Orange Bowl. They'll be at Penn State Notre Dame tonight. I appreciate their commitment, though.
I mean, go to a game. You know what I mean? Hopefully they flew down there and just were going to buy a ticket down there, and they didn't buy the wrong ticket, too.
Like they bought a Cotton Bowl ticket and went to the Orange Bowl? That'd be a big level of dumb.
Right?
That'd be a whole other level of dumb there. All right, so read your brackets correctly. Moral of the story. We finally have the explanation behind the Shane Gillis versus Nick Saban exchange on College Game Day prior to the Notre Dame-Indiana game. It might be better than we thought. Danny and Dusty on the Fan. All right, the saga of Shane Gillis versus Nick Saban has lasted. It's been living rent-free in my mind, that's for sure.
It's Shane Gillis' one flaw that he's a Notre Dame fan, but this was still very funny.
That's his one flaw.
Yeah.
Okay. Your hate for them is something special. Mm.
Especially with my newfound Irish heritage. I'm struggling.
Oh.
Struggling, juxtaposing those two things.
We remember Shane Gillis on the set of College Game Day prior to the Indiana-Notre Dame game of the first round of the college football playoff. He had this with Nick Saban after calling him a cheater.
That's why I spazzed and talked on Saban. Like the
hold on.
You called him a cheater earlier.
I was just joking around. I don't think the SEC paid players ever.
Period.
I'm joking. Is this not a fun show?
No.
It's a serious show?
Serious football.
Like, Alabama Jones is very serious.
No, I'm not serious.
Get the whip, Indy.
I do believe in integrity.
Yeah,
I always
yeah.
tried to run the program that way so players had a better chance to be successful
Amen.
In life.
I agree.
We make
Amen.
More money in the NFL than any other school, 61 players in the league. That was how we cheated. We developed players.
It got uncomfortable. Nick Saban, you could tell, was upset during that when a stand-up comedian makes a joke. And that was after, you know, McAfee sets that up by saying you called him a cheater earlier.
Yeah. Because he's taking it on because they've talked a little bit.
Well, we finally have the backstory and we have Shane Gillis's version. And the ending may be better than we could have expected.
That's why I spazzed and talked shit on Saban, like, the because he was like, what do you think about the game? And I was like, I don't know, Nick Saban cheated. It was just a full spazz.
It was so good, though.
I mean, that I'd like to explain that, because that was so. After I said that, we had to go into the stadium to sit at the desk. Then I got in there, and right before we go on, he looks at me and he's like, I heard what you said. And I was like, holy shit. And then Herb Street and McAfee were like, he's just breaking your balls, dude. He loves messing with guys. Like, he's literally just and I was like, oh, all right. I'll f*** with him back. I would have never done that if I thought he was serious.
Yeah.
But they told me he was f***ing around, so I started f***ing with him. And then as soon as we get done, I tell Herb Street and McAfee, I'm like, bro, he was definitely serious. And they're like, no way he was serious. Go talk to him. So I went up to him after news, like, you think the SEC dominated because we cheated? That's bullshit. And he spazzed on me.
Were you helping him
down? But then, so he was still on the stage and I was on the field. So after he yelled at me, I had to help him down. And he like looked around to see if anybody else could help him, but I had to help him down.
It's great. You know why Saban got mad?
What, because he did?
Because, he did. He said it on draft day.
Oh, with the tampering?
Yeah.
Like, the tampering and the portal stuff?
Like, if you think if he said that willingly, you don't think that he was handing out bags before? And to be clear, this isn't, throwing, stones in glass houses.
Yeah.
Lendell White went out there and said $150,000 in cash appeared once a month on my bed in my apartment.
Yeah.
And good.
Well, I mean, Nick Saban would like you to believe USC was the only team to be doing that. That's why they got hit.
Yeah, and it's
with
like,
NCAA sanctions.
No, man.
Of course.
Everybody was doing it, and they should have been doing it, and they were doing it. Hell, there was a human highlight reel. Dominique, he was talking about how back in his day, if you're in North Carolina, like him decommitting from North Carolina State and leaving the ACC to go to Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was
a big, big deal.
There was, there's the reports and stuff of John Wooden had a bag man at UCLA.
Yeah, you don't win 10 straight titles without that. But I mean, he went and Neek goes like, oh, they got the bag. He goes, well, yeah.
And this
is in the early 80s.
My favorite part. Well, we talked with Brian Jones about this at the Army-Navy game where he was like...
Openly admitted it!
Yeah, he took a pay cut when he went to the NFL from UCLA. Like, yeah, did.
And UCLA wasn't that good then!
But I don't think that is the most entertaining part of that. The most entertaining part is where he said at the end he had to help Nick Saban off the stage. If you don't know, those stages are elevated probably like 5 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
And so Shane Gillis, as Nick Saban is yelling at him, that's BS, is looking down on him from the top of the stage. And so I can only imagine Shane Gillis like holding his hands out like he's a dad trying to catch his little kid jumping off a counter.
Because for those of you that have never seen Shane Gillis, he's a big dude. He's a big dude.
Yeah, like, he was recruited to go play at Army, which may not indicate he's that big of a dude because those guys weren't really all that big, but he's tall.
That was one of the funny things when we were on the field at Army-Navy. We looked around after they sang. They weren't much bigger than us. Like, it was...
They're very small.
That was a, this does not feel like I'm on the field for Oregon USC.
I love the fact that McAfee and Herb Street are to blame for Shane Gillis calling Nick Saban Alabama Jones. And it was because they thought he was busting his balls and Nick Saban was not. Nick Saban was very upset about it. And I bet Saban was upset with Herb Street and McAfee for bringing it up and laughing about it in that exchange where he was called Alabama Jones because
they ragged him on.
They thought he was, it was everybody's having a good time. We're yucking it up. It's chuckle time.
No, because the only one laughing wasn't Nick because it, you know, it insulted his pride. Insulted the SEC.
I think it's even more impressive if he were to come out and be like, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, that's how you won back then. Well, that's how you won.
He came out and was like, yeah, I did it. Mark Richt did it.
We did it better.
Les Miles did it. We all, Herb did it. We all did it. Yeah. Deal with it.
Yeah. The Meat Market is the book, but and that's about Ole Miss's recruiting under Ed Orgeron. But Stephen Godfrey was the author of that, and he wrote Bagman, which was an expose on the Bagman culture in the SEC. Go ahead and read that.
Yeah.
That is, they talk about it all the time. And it's like a community. Back in the day, it was a community of Bagmen, and they had like these unwritten rules that they would operate under.
Yeah, you don't go where I go. I don't go where you go. We don't rat each other out.
Yeah,
it's like mafioso type stuff. Like, yeah, this is your territory. This is our territory. We don't, you know. And then you get the territory wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are the things that popped up.
Yeah, it's called Meet the Bag Man: 10 Rules for Paying College Football Players.
What's more impressive, that the Bag Man have never really been outed publicly, or that the players? All of the players over such a long period of time kept their mouths shut. Because to me, it's being the players keeping their mouths shut. Kids keeping their mouths
families,
shut about money.
Families keeping their mouths shut. Yeah. Because the players had something to lose, but the families and families that feel like they should have gotten more, like that, that's the other thing, is the kids keeping their mouths shut within the locker room to be able to not say how much money they were getting because then that would upset somebody else. Mm-hmm. That was a big
one. It's tough.
Heck yeah.
Because kids, doesn't matter what generation it is, cell phones or not, you want to stunt on them a little bit.
Yeah. I wonder if that was it. Like, Saban was like, you know what I'm upset about? All these kids know how much each other are making now because it all has to be public.
We used to be a lot cheaper about it.
We used to play by a set of morals and ethics here where we didn't know how much each guy was getting paid. Mm. You never ask a person. I wonder if that was like the introduction.
That's
like,
the thing that kills him.
You know what number one rule in business is? Never ask somebody how much they get paid. Mm. You know? Now everybody knows.
And that's what's bothering them.
That's what got all the kids to shut up is they're like, hey, you never ask somebody that question.
According to the recruiting index, Shane Gillis, 6'4", 275-pound lineman coming out for Army.
Oh, look at that.
So he's a large man.
Yeah.
He's a large man.
Yeah.
Not too bad. High school senior, 6'4", 275.
That's a very large senior.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He must have been slow. Because you would have thought, like, schools would be like...
And he's from Pennsylvania. He's from a football,
kid.
You know, hotbed.
And it was only Army that recruited him.
It's funny to think about, considering what we just saw at Army Navy, and, like, picturing Shane Gillis at West Point.
Not a guy who would fit that.
It's like, yeah, well. All right, coming up next, it's time for our worst day on the web. And when your government has to put out this warning, your country might be in a lot more trouble. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
You ever had a Big Kahuna burger?
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by George McCoy at WarrenAllen.com.
On 1080 The Fan. It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Look, if your country is sending out these kind of press alerts, you need to sit out the whole America is very dumb situation. I do love that when you get the... one of my favorite tropes is like when you go over to Europe, like, Americans are dumb. And I'm just like, okay, this is what we're going to do, huh? You're the education system of the UK. It's like, you guys can't get on your internet and not say something sideways without getting arrested, but you're going to educate us about what's dumb and what's not. I digress. The Belgian Federal Food Agency has issued a warning to its citizens to not eat their Christmas trees.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
What would make you want to eat your Christmas tree?
Belgium's food agency has warned people not to eat their Christmas trees after the city of Ghent suggested reusing pine needles in recipes as a way to reduce waste.
Oh, okay.
Okay, why are you, number one, what are you cooking with pine needles for?
I don't know.
They aren't pine nuts.
I don't know. It seems like that would be more of a fire hazard in your dried out Christmas tree.
Yeah, of all of the other things. But, but like, the council suggested making flavored butter and soup from the pine needles.
Oh, boy. That sounds horrible. And if you're doing that, well, I would say you probably deserve what's coming with whatever. Why are they saying, what is the hazard here?
Well, most of these pine trees are treated with pesticides.
Well,
they aren't meant to be upcycled into food. Also, stop with the waste thing. It's a pine tree. You know what happens if you throw it outside?
Yeah.
It dies and decomposes and goes into the ground.
Yeah, I don't think that this is high on the list here of issues going on in Belgium. But that's pretty dumb. We have to issue the alerts not to barbecue inside your house when it gets cold.
Or don't fry your turkey. Don't put a frozen turkey in your fryer.
Yeah, every Thanksgiving that happens.
That one's really fun.
So let's not shame this one here. We have a lot of stuff we got to get. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Barbecuing indoors.
What defines indoors?
Yeah, exactly.
Three walls or four walls?
This is exactly why.
I'm saying
it doesn't matter if there's a roof over it. Like if you have a covered deck and three walls are open, you're safe.
Yeah, okay.
You are safe. I think anything more than that probably shouldn't be barbecuing in there, pal.
Well, I mean, when we do like barbecue restaurants, barbecue inside restaurants all the time.
With proper ventilation, Danny.
Sure, I'm kidding. I know. Just saying. There's levels to this.
No.
Yes. There's no level of eat your Christmas tree.
That does not. Well, people eat roughage all the time. You know, I watched Man vs. Wild. He'll eat some tree branches every now and then. Oof. You know?
That level.
They're like, you know what? That's what I'm going to go do. I'm going to Bear Grylls my new year. Looking for a little weight loss going on.
There's so many better ways. I was literally stuck in the wilderness for 2 weeks, and I was able to not do that.
What'd you eat?
Rabbit.
Oh, rabbit.
I threw down, was it like 12 snares? I caught 2 rabbits.
Okay.
And then I turned them inside out, chopped them up, threw them in a little survival pan, and cooked it underground.
Well,
it was actually really tasty.
I'll take your word for that.
Look, when you haven't eaten for a couple of days,
yeah, I'm sure it was very good.
Incredible.
Sure it was very good.
Especially if you have a little ramen packet.
Yeah, that's Bear Grylls always has those.
Well, you can decide things to put in your survival kit.
And so you use a little ramen?
Yeah, because it's a ramen packet. Little packet doesn't take up any space.
That's a smart move.
Look, man, you never know what you might have to eat out there. You know, it may get like, oh no, I have to eat the robin. And you're sitting there just like trying to pick a little bit of robin meat off the bone.
Pine needles to replace rosemary. That text coming in.
Look, that's a great point real quick. Rosemary, I think I told you
it
this.
It looks like pine needles.
It does.
It doesn't taste the same.
Rosemary should be the default thing that we put on French fries.
I like rosemary. Yeah. Like with truffle rosemary fries.
My God.
Yeah, those are really good.
Or like a rosemary bread.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
But rosemary, I feel like, is underutilized. Is it technically a herb or a spice? Is it an herb?
I don't know.
It's like tomato. Is it a fruit or a vegetable?
Yeah.
We all know that's a fruit.
Both those fall under, I don't really care. You know, that's where I fall on those. It's like, herb, spice, sure, whatever.
Yeah, rosemary's an herb.
Rosemary is an herb. That's what I think. Okay. That's, you know. But
all right.
It's I feel like it's drastically underutilized.
Yeah, it is. It's good. But too much, that'll ruin it.
Oh, no, a little bit goes a long way. Yeah, like, you don't need much.
Too much, and it'll ruin a dish, though.
Shout out. I'll give them free promotion here. Lardo, those truffle fries with the rosemary. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They call them the dirty fries.
Yeah, they're really good.
Incredible.
Yeah.
My mouth just watered.
I think Little Big Burger has those, too. Yeah. Super good.
Burgerville's got the seasonal, garlic and rosemary
fries.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like those... rosemary feels like a herb that is readily available. So it's like, why isn't that like the default? Like a little bit of salt and rosemary.
Is it expensive?
It shouldn't be. It's everywhere.
I don't know. I just found out it's an herb, so I have no idea on the price point on it either. I would imagine that it would be the expense, but locally here, we can get it. It's good. I'm in.
I'm doing a quick Google. It shouldn't be.
Yep.
But normally a bunch of rosemary or thyme will run you $2 or more, which...
A bunch.
That doesn't make sense. I don't get it.
Like the fresh stuff? Just in that little plastic carton? Yeah. It's probably about $2-3 maybe.
And also rosemary is another one of those things like garlic. Like the actual health benefits are like obscenely like positive.
No idea about them.
Yeah.
What are they?
What is it? It's antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal properties.
No.
It can help you lower the risk of infection and help your immune system. It's very, very similar to garlic, and it's a very specific thing that has a bunch of like very positive properties.
Superfoods.
Yeah.
My health teacher in high school, pizza is superfood.
Pizza?
Yeah.
Because garlic?
No, because it has every basic food group. is on a pizza. You have meat, vegetables, dairy, and grains. All right there.
Interesting.
Yeah. In moderation, though.
Yeah.
He always had that qualifier.
It's heavier.
Obviously, in moderation.
Dairy.
You don't want to go eating like 8 large pizzas. He's like, but pizza is superfood. I love that.
I mean, technically correct.
Yeah, no, he was not wrong. He didn't miss on a lot of things. Yeah, he got us.
I guess I'd say the margarita, but that doesn't have the pepperoni. So I guess just pepperoni?
Well, you just said margarita, and my head just went straight to a salted rim. But
yeah. I guess I should say a margarita. A margarita pizza.
No, I don't want to do it. I heard, you know that song, A Pill in Ibiza?
Yeah.
Right?
Ibiza.
That's it. Somebody remade that song
with the
and
lisp.
They did the Ibiza. It's like, you are trying way too hard, buddy.
You are not from Catalan. Knock it off.
It popped up on my, on like the music you may like, and it was like a remix of that song. And it's like, I took a pill in Ibiza. And I was
wet dream tomato.
I was like, yeah, I am so far out on this.
Yeah, if you're a local, if you're from Spain, particularly in Catalan, where they have the lisp, you know where that came from, right? Their king had one, and it became like the, everybody started
doing
it.
You
better do it, yeah.
You better not.
It's like, if I want to say it's 14th or 15th century that happened.
You better not.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was
I love stupid things like that.
Yeah, like a foot. He's a foot. King's foot was one foot.
You changed the literal definition of, like, your language because you had a lisp.
Yeah.
Like, that's power.
Yeah. In America, like, we had the Boston Tea Party. We got away from everything Britain, but we're like, you know what? A foot, still using it. Still using that king's foot. Even they were like, nah, let's get to something that actually makes a little bit more sense here. And we're like, nope. We're going to go 12 inches and 1 foot.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. Three feet and one yard.
That the Boston Tea Party, it's like, yes, it was about taxes, but you messed with our caffeine.
Yeah, don't do that.
And even 300 years ago, we were still like, don't mess with the caffeine.
No. Nope.
Don't do that.
Not one bit. Ooh, this is a great one. I'm eating Stark Street Pizza as I listen to the segment. Superfood indeed. This is the best pizza I've had in a decade.
Yeah, isn't
that Stark Street Pizza is
isn't like
elite.
One of the best pizza places in the country?
Yeah,
hasn't it been voted that?
I used to go there, and there's a batting cage that used to be down there. It's right off 205 on Stark Street there. I used to go to Stark Street Pizza and then go to Batting 1000 was the batting cage right near there.
Ooh.
All the time. That was like, my dad and I did that all the time. Elite pizza. They used to have the little tiny pepperonis, like the little ones, and they just had the little, they're like little bowls of grease.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good.
It's amazing how much those have like more grease in them than they actually like full-size pepperonis.
Yeah, but because they hold it. They carry
like
it
a little
for you
bowl.
Right there. It's beautiful.
Curl up for
it turns
you.
Into a little cup.
Oh. Yeah, it's awesome. If you eat it too hot, though, watch out. You got grease just boiling in your mouth.
Well, yeah, then all of a sudden you're doing the...
Yeah. It's like burning the top of your mouth, so that doesn't help. Now the whole thing is all just burnt. Oh, I hate that. I hate that.
So, yeah, rosemary and cooking with your pine tree.
Yeah, don't eat your Christmas tree. Yeah, thanks,
Belgians.
Yeah. I mean, somebody...
Stick to your waffles and lakes that you're used to.
Don't barbecue indoors. Use more rosemary. Little pepperoni is beautiful, holding all that grease. Stark Street Pizza is good. Lardo fries are good. Burgerville seasonal fries,
there you go.
Good.
I'm babe.
I think we got a lot accomplished here.
We did. All right, coming up next, how Baker Mayfield showed that Mike Evans, he's a true psycho too. Danny and Dusty, today the fan. The preparation process of bringing Baker Mayfield back to the fold has gone on for quite some time now. And one of the ways that he was able to endear himself to his likely Hall of Fame teammate, Mike Evans.
Likely? Surefire Hall of Fame teammate.
There you go.
Mike Evans, yeah.
You'd love to see it. Is showing how much of a psychopath he was. And just listen, you'll understand.
Got your coffee. Yeah. It is early. Nope. Hey, well, how do you take your coffee? What's the best?
Misfire, hot route.
Never met a quarterback that does that shit. Like, this dude is a psycho, man, for real. Like, I don't know how he does it. I barely do it. I hate it.
I love it.
It sucks.
I love it.
I love it.
I need to do it because to play like you play, I need to start doing that shit if it helps.
I mean, I think you're doing just fine, by the way, but it helps.
Smelling salts.
Yeah.
Smelling salts. Baker Mayfield does smelling salts before every game, walking down the tunnel, and Mike Evans is like, dude, this guy is psycho. But if there is a player that plays quarterback like he's on smelling salts, it's Baker Mayfield.
Smelling salts.
I love every bit of Baker Mayfield because he always looks like he's like charged up. Mm-hmm. Like when he gets hit in the pocket, it's just like he's bouncing off the walls. That makes me love Baker Mayfield a little bit more. And Mike Evans just being like, dude, I love this guy. He's a psychopath.
He's a psychopath.
But he's my psychopath.
Yeah. What's funny is the Bucks they're the ones who have the pregame of Baker walking on the field and he's hitting the smelling salts. What's hilarious about the video is you see Baker, and in the background, you see like all of the linebackers doing it too. Yeah. It's like, it's not uncommon to say, what was it? Was it Big John Henderson? He used to get a living hell slapped out of him.
Yeah.
Before games?
Well, John Randall used to do that.
Was it Randall?
Yeah. That is something smelling salts are awful. Like, there's a reason why they wake you up when you're knocked out.
It's ammonia.
Holy smokes. It is powerful. Mm-hmm. It rocks your brain. And I have a feeling like Baker Mayfield used to sniff glue when he's a kid. Or like markers.
Oh, yeah.
He was like the big... Remember those big... magic markers that were like super fat and they had like the silver
super wide tip
and white stripes around the thing and those things
those were paint.
Those were kids smelling salts.
I mean they were paint. You'd be like, let's call it what it is. Like you were huffing paint. That's
absolutely
like, those markers that used to smell like bubblegum and raspberries, like Baker definitely was like, this isn't good enough.
No, this is child's play. Yeah.
Have you seen any of the videos that came out around like a couple days after Christmas of like people like passing smelling salts around the family Christmas?
Like, no.
Unsuspectingly?
No.
Oh, yeah. It was hilarious. You know, like some 16-year-old kid being like, check this out. I got this for Christmas. Smell it. And it hit like the parents. Like the uncle dropping to the floor, like, oh, God.
If you're not expecting it, I could not.
Oh, I mean, like, legs buckle. And that one, and there's somebody switching out shots for lemon juice.
Oh, yeah. That's always a good one.
Watching their face short circuit, just go,
yeah.
Because you can't drink that much lemon juice
and
not have your face short circuit.
That was always a big one, is like, the guy who was already way too drunk at the party.
Swapping him out.
Just give him a water. And he's just like, yeah. It's like, bud.
You're gone.
You're way too far gone. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that water. Maybe you should have one that's a little bit bigger. A
little bit bigger. Maybe have a little bit of salt. We'll replace some electrolytes. Here's a Propel. The simple things. But yeah, Baker Mayfield, certified psycho, and I absolutely love him for it.
I do too.
The Baker Mayfield too. Redemption Tour has been a fun last couple of years.
It has been, and look, I hope that he puts it together in the playoffs too, and I want to see more of Mike Evans. I want to see more of Baker Mayfield. I think the Buccaneers are a fun team. I think Commanders are a fun team. That's going to be a great game.
Yes, I didn't like picking that game because I like both those teams.
Yeah.
I want to say this. I wish Baker Mayfield was the Raiders quarterback because he feels like a Raider.
No, he's a winner, though. So.
Wow.
What?
God. You know our franchises are just like inverse of themselves, right? 20 years of being the worst franchise in professional sports and then just winning.
Well, No.
The Raiders were the winningest team in all of professional sports for the first 40 years of their existence. Yeah.
But the Patriots were never like the worst team.
They were, though.
Go and look it up.
They were. They had the lowest winning percentage in professional sports.
Danny.
Okay.
They went to a Super Bowl in 85.
Okay.
They had multiple 10-win seasons before before Bill Belichick got there.
Okay.
They went to a Super Bowl in 96.
Okay. Coming up, we will pick those games. All of them.
Yeah.
All of them NFL playoff games.
They were pretty bad, though. They had some bad years.
Normally just do four, but we're going to hit every single game.
Let's go, all six.
Hour number three on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.